And a huge welcome to all here on Campus FM 103.7 from us on Shades of Green, the program that deals with all the shades of our surrounding environment. Here, broadcast every Tuesday at 14:30 with a repeat on Fridays at 20:00. And today, other shades is going to be with us exploring different aspects of our social environment. And I hope your day has been good so far and that your enviro contributions are moving in the right direction. This is Vanessa. I'm all set to start today on this very interesting topic. And with me here in studio, I have invited Mr. Vince Caruana, who is a coordinator of the local action group of the MET 2000 project, as well as being an educator. And of course, I have invited yourselves from campus. And I wish to start today immediately by listening to some of what you have told me regarding an aspect of social economy. Well, a case in point would be this. Just imagine that you have just discovered that your favorite brand of sports shoes is manufactured in sweatshops. Well, what do you do about it? And let's hear what you would do about it. Well, stay there, keep tuned. Let's just hear what you want to tell us.
I would try to avoid those brands. Okay. Yes.
No.
Would not buy that product. Buy another brand.
You? Certainly, the brand I
would continue to buy that product.
Personally, I wouldn't do anything. Perhaps if there is any protest, I would participate in it, but not take the initiative myself.
Okay. Well, probably I'll look for an alternative brand that I know is not doing such a thing in order to produce whatever brand it is.
I would definitely stop using that product.
Okay. I would stop buying those products and tell my friends not to buy that product.
I would certainly stop, and I will tell my friends also.
I sometimes think it's hard to really figure out how to react the right way, because I find myself buying still this stuff, although I know how they're working. But I think it, of course, would be best just to stop buying these things, but I just think it's hard to rethink.
I think I should not buy it. But if it is very, 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 very cheap, I think I will end up buying it.
I don't think I'd buy it again. Because it's unfair for the short children. No, I don't think I'd buy it.
Probably I'll think about it, but I'll make sure I make my research first before I buy.
I'll maybe stop buying the sportswear and choose another brand, probably.
Well, Mr. Caruana, how are you? Good day to you.
Thanks, fine.
Well, what a very difficult question, Mr. Caruana. Well, to answer sincerely, I mean, this is really difficult to say, you know. It's your favorite brand of sportswear, it's the thing that you have been used to shopping, it's there, you find it, it's so easy to shop. Well, what would you do about it? You have to go and look for something else, or just, you know, keep on, stick on with that same sportswear. Well, speaking for myself, well, to be very truthful, I think I would find it quite difficult to abandon my past traditions, my past experiences, in order to go hunting for something new. But before you answer this, how many people do you think are aware of the exact meaning of sweatshops?
Well, sweatshops do not make any headlines. So it is quite normal to encounter people who still have no idea of what sweatshops are about, because the news is full of lots of other things to say and these issues often get forgotten. Mm-hmm. However, it is a reality which thousands of people are facing daily. Basically, terrible conditions at the place of work.
That is the meaning of a sweatshop.
Well, we are used to various conditions which we take for granted. If in Malta workers want to join a trade union, they can join. In sweatshops, you are not allowed. We are used to a regulated day, for example, an 8-hour day. Mm-hmm. In sweatshops, the time can be 12 hours or even more. We are used to saying that corporal punishment of children is a thing of the past. in sweatshops you have corporal punishment, not only of children, but even times humiliating adults. Child labor is something which we think is no longer being practiced. In sweatshops you will find child labor. And the list can go on. Low lighting, you have to ask permission to go to the toilet, and lots of other conditions that make work really difficult.
Mm-hmm. And where do you think are these sweatshops most widespread? Can you still find sweatshops in Europe?
Well, most often we associate sweatshops with the developing world, mm-hmm. with certain countries like Indonesia, certain countries in Latin or Central America. Mm-hmm. However, of course, there are various factories in Europe which somehow manage to go against the laws that regulate the country. And sometimes you do get to know about them. Recently we have heard about cases in England of workers that managed to be given a real pittance for their work through certain loopholes. But sweatshops are traditionally associated with extremely low wages in countries which do not really have neither a regulatory framework to ensure more dignified conditions. Mm-hmm. And due to globalization, multinationals can switch from one country to another according to where they think they can get away with it best, according to where they think they can pay workers the least, or according to where they think the workers are least organized, and that is where they just switch from one country to another.
And sweatshops would normally be associated with factories where there is a production line going on.
Yes, it can be clothes, design, labels, it can be shoes, it can be various manufacturing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, regarding this question about awareness, I remember a case in point some years back when there was some headlines. Actually, they were in a newspaper, but they were not really front page. They were, you know, hidden away somewhere behind certain articles and journals, but it was there about a particular sweatshop relating to a particular sports brand, in fact. And I was working in this school where there were a number of foreigners present. And what happened was that the teacher who was in the classroom was mentioning this article to these groups of students, and one foreign student showed himself being very much ill at ease. He was really, really uncomfortable at the thought, at the idea of even, you know, like agreeing to people buying from these sweatshops. And the thing that worries me is how many Maltese, how many local people are willing, because this guy created a fuss. I mean, this guy was really, really into it, and he was like, no, obviously people don't buy, because this teacher was telling them all about the history of the sports brand and everything, you know. She wasn't really having a propaganda going on for buying things from this sports brand, but she was, you know, illustrating it. But this student was really so much against it, and it was almost to the point of worrying, because it was almost like an extremist. But how many Maltese, in your opinion, from what you can see, from your experience, how many Maltese would really go into that kind of thing? How many Maltese think they could do something, take a stand against these things?
Well, basically, I can understand the type of reaction that you are describing, because trade is anonymous. If you want to look at the face behind your sport shoes, you won't find it. Mm. So trade is anonymous, and that is many times comfortable for us, because we can just buy according to what they tell us. And really the problem with labeling is not what is told, but what is left untold. And once we get to know about certain issues, we might get lots of reactions, but we might also feel that we are an accomplice in this linking of what's happening abroad to what's happening in my country. And feeling an accomplice is a feeling which no one wants. Mm-hmm. So we tend to react in strange ways when we get to know about these things. Obviously, there are other ways to try and resolve this feeling, but it is usually a feeling of disempowerment that leads to strange reactions, because you feel an accomplice, you still feel that you like that type of shoes, and you just react strangely. But there are various other reactions. Unfortunately, these issues do not get discussed in Malta. I remember the case you are referring to, and I remember that it was discussed on Italian television, and it was discussed not only in documentaries but also in popular programs for youth about music and so on. We tend to discuss these issues less, so most probably we have less ideas how to react in front of these situations.
And speaking about all this, well, how would you summarize? Because these are all parts, what we're talking about here, all makes up a part of social economy, of the issues involved in social economy. Okay, how do you summarize these issues?
If I had to say it in one sentence, I would say putting people before profit. That would make it
that
sound...
is a nice phrase.
Sound simple. Uh-huh. Also, it is the opposite of what happens usually. Usually trade is anonymous. In the social economy, trade has a human face. Mm-hmm. So you know who, not only what, but you know who is behind the label, who is behind the product. And that is usually empowering both for the consumer and for the producer. The social economy tends to target marginalized people or marginalized groups, in the sense that people who know the tricks of the trade, in a literal sense, people who know how the market economy functions, sometimes, at least if they have a vantage starting point, can make it. But people who are less aware of the actual mechanics of the market economy, or people who have a disadvantaged starting point, cannot make it. And the social economy often offers some way out. And we can make a list of issues that are often considered as part of the social economy. We can talk about fair trade.
How, for example, does the social economy find a way out for these marginalized groups?
Okay, it's good to mention certain topics that we often fall under the social economy. We have, for example, fair trade, we have microcredit, we have ethical finance, we also have farming which is fair, such as organic farming, which tends to respect the health of the producers and the health of the consumers. So these are various experiments that try to put people before profit. Just to give one example, to take microcredit. In Bangladesh, poor people, used to have a simple idea of how to start a business. For example, they decided they want to polish shoes.
Okay.
But even for something that small, you need a small startup income. You need some money to buy the polish and to buy the brush. That's simple. These people used to go to a normal bank and they would not be given a loan simply because they cannot offer a security, simply because they have no guarantee. Microcredit gives these people an opportunity to prove themselves trustworthy and to start their own mini business. They can take a small loan, unsecured. They will pay it back, because interestingly, research shows that the payback rate of microcredit is even higher than the payback rate in normal banking. And once you get your first mini loan and pay it back, you are eligible for a slightly larger loan. So you can slowly expand your business.
Yes.
So you have given a new opportunity to poor people who couldn't make it from the normal functioning of banks. So this is one very practical example of how the social economy can help people make it.
I don't know if I can maybe ask a question about this case. I know, for example, that in Germany, if you are a person and you decide to start your own business, okay, therefore you have quit your old job because you need to start a new business, the government offers 130% increase on your previous wage for 6 months until you start your business. Does that apply? Does it come into social economy?
To understand whether it comes into the social economy, you have to in particular look at the nature of the business. Mm-hmm. Is this a business which respects the environment? Is this a business which respects the basic rights of workers? I mean, you can obtain this loan, but your business might actually pollute. Mm-hmm. So that can never be considered as part of the social economy because it has to be fair to people and fair to the environment.
Now, that is very important. Yeah. Okay. You have mentioned some examples of social economy. Okay. What is the future of such a social economy in Malta?
Okay. I would like to mention a particular example that took place in Malta a few months ago, when 5 organizations for the first time came together to organize a fair on the social economy. So this is a good sign. Yeah. These 5 organizations were Fondazione Nazareth, Genista Foundation, Gaia Foundation, Cooperativa Sociale Francosi, and Cooperativa Commerce Just. Each one of these organizations is doing an economic activity, but with a social purpose. So you've got a workshop run by disabled people, you've got disabled people growing crops on an organic farm, a mini field, you've got sales of organic products, you've got fair trade going on. So these are mini initiatives going on in Malta, which we also do not hear too much about.
Yes, it's true. They're not marketed a lot. How does one get to know of these things? For example, I didn't know there was a fair going on.
Well, the issue is that the groups organizing these activities are mainly volunteers with limited resources, limited time, and limited funds. However, these groups are learning also how to tap the media better. So you do manage to get these issues into the media nowadays. And one, I think, important conclusion of this first ever social economy fair in Malta was that some of these organizations are still collaborating now on a longer term basis. So somehow we can say that there is a good future for the social economy in Malta. On a more negative side, we still do not get enough information in the media of these alternative initiatives. Most youth still do not know about these alternatives. Most people do not discuss ethical banking in Malta. So most people do not worry or do not ask.
What is ethical banking?
Okay. If I ask someone, do you know where your money is ending up? You put your money in the bank and you just trust that the bank is making good use with your money. Recently, I've asked some students, do you know what happens with your money? And no one can answer.
Yes, ask me. I have no idea, I can tell you. Tell me.
Neither do I. The problem is that it's very difficult to actually know where your money is ending up. In ethical banking, you are guaranteed that your money is only lent to initiatives or groups that have a social purpose, that have an environmental purpose, that have a cultural or even sports purpose. So you know where your money is going. You can also make a list, a priority list of where you prefer your money to go. So you can say, I would prefer my money to go for groups that are borrowing money, for an environmental project. So there is much more transparency, much more accountability, and in particular, there is again this idea of people and environment before profit. So you know what's happening with your money.
Are there any particular countries that are enforcing ethical banking?
Enforcing, no. But in most European countries, you do have a choice. And ethical banking, again, is a growing market. You have more people investing in ethical banks. But we still do not discuss these issues in Malta. I mean, they've started many, many years ago when people started worrying abroad, not in Malta, people started worrying and started saying, but could my money actually be lent to groups that are investing in armaments? Mm-hmm. And if I've got an anti-war stance, that can be very worrying. So people started asking these questions. In Malta, you can get away with it.
Yes, so it does not apply yet in Malta.
Because consumers, people are not aware. They do not ask enough. And perhaps this is one of the reasons why we still haven't founded an ethical bank in Malta. So
that is very, very interesting. Okay, so let's speak about education, because over here during our programs we normally revolve our discussion around education. So what role can education play in the promotion of social economy?
Okay, I am particularly interested in the role of education, in particular because I am an educator myself, and I firstly believe that all the people and all the groups that can have a multiplier effect ought to be better informed about the social economy. You've got teachers that can reach whole numbers of students. You've got universities that can reach future teachers that will reach a whole number of students. You've got journalists that work in the media that can reach a very wide audience. So I think that we do need a focused education campaign targeting in particular people that can have a multiplier effect. Secondly, from my own experience working on a direct level with students or direct level with consumers, people do tend to react strangely perhaps in the beginning. In the beginning, you do put up a wall in front of you. Mm-hmm. But once you start understanding, once you start researching a bit, you will start asking the important questions. Today, with the use of the internet, it's very easy to research about sweatshops. It's very easy to research what is behind certain companies. Mm-hmm. So we do have sources of information today. And once consumers become aware of these issues, usually they want to act. Because the whole idea is that people can get away with it because there is no human face. Mm-hmm. Once you manage to see a human face behind what's happening, you will automatically change your attitude. So I think that as consumers, the more we get to know about these issues, the more we can act, the more we get to know about what we can do. Do we write letters to companies when we get to know about their unfair practices?
That was what I was going to ask you next, in fact. Okay, we educate people. We are educated ourselves. What's the next step? Where's the action? What to do?
If I send a letter to one of my favorite brands, but a brand that I became disappointed with because of certain practices, and I will tell my brand, listen, I've been always loyal to you, but I am changing, I'm swapping brand until you tell me what you're going to do about this issue. Brands are concerned. That is just one practical example of what you can do, because obviously you can, first of all, give priority to these small initiatives, even locally in your shopping, that are trying to promote the social economy. You can choose your gifts from these small organizations that are trying to promote the social economy. You can, wherever possible, opt to shop organic. So there are various things that you can do in your daily shopping, mm-hmm. but usually that is not enough. If you do communicate with who is responsible of putting profit before people, mm-hmm. that usually is just as important as choosing alternative brands or choosing to shop organic and so on. Mm-hmm.
Well, another question that I have, which I have, but I shall leave. I shall leave up to you to answer in the next program. That means next week is this. But to do this, to do all this that you're saying, does it mean I have to pay extra? I will leave you with this. I will ask it again next week. In the meantime, I just want to tell you that, well, to conclude, today we have spoken about various aspects of social economy. And, well, today we have, I'm sure Vince would agree with me, we have just skimmed the surface. Okay. I would also like to remind you that Vince is a coordinator for a project, for the Met 2000 project, and it will be very interesting, as usual, if you can surf the web and find out some more info about this thing, about social economy. Well, you can go to http://www.cric.it/med2000.htm, that is one link, or else http://it.jscities.com/caravana2003, CARVANA2003/, and you can just go in and find yourselves some good information. Get yourself educational, get yourself educated, and educate others. That is all today from us here on Campus FM 103.7, and this is Shades of Green. I really thank Vince Caruana for all his useful contributions. And of course, I thank yourselves for tuning in. Till next week, same time, same frequency. It's bye-bye and take good care.